The Last Renaissance Man by T.D. Webster, with Michael Pennington as Bill Mottram, Caroline Mortimer as Jenny, and Geoffrey Matthews as Ambrose Gray. The Last Renaissance Man.
I can't talk now. Can I ring you back?
No.
I can't get away. I'm tied up all afternoon.
Tonight, then.
What's it about?
I need to see you.
Suzanne.
Oh, it isn't us, honestly. You needn't stay long. I think you should come, Bill. You'll think so, too.
Well, I suppose I could come over early evening.
Anytime. But don't forget.
To be perfectly honest, Jenny, I need sanctuary.
Oh, yes.
I met this girl at a party. Well, no, not a girl. Not in the cruel light of day. Yes, that's the trouble, really. More of a matron. I seem to attract matrons these days. I made promises I don't want to keep.
Such as?
Such as, she's got a very nice piece of Sheraton I'd promised to look at, and her husband is abroad.
I see. Oh, pack a bag and come now.
You sure?
Certain. It's ages since we saw you. Bill will be delighted.
How is the master?
Oh, fit and well, and very busy.
I see he's still exercising his multiple talents.
What?
The peace and the colour supplement.
Oh, that.
Yes, modern Chippendale, latter-day Leonardo. Very good.
I thought the article was appalling. It made us sound like a tree cottage industry.
I see old Morris got only the slightest mention.
Ah, well, Morris is plain commercialism. He just sells the stuff.
Are you still involved?
Very occasionally. I'm back teaching. I run a playgroup. Right. What time can we expect you? It'll be nice to see Ambrose again.
Yes, great. I like to see old Ambrose from time to time. He's a salutary warning.
A warning?
Yeah, against dabbling, dilettantism.
And you don't dabble.
Whatever I do properly. Ambrose is frightened of commitment, he always was.
There was a time when you hung on his every word.
Yeah, well, I didn't know then that the world was full of Ambroses. The only talent Ambrose has is for appearing to have talent.
We owe Ambrose a great deal.
Yeah, agreed, but that's been repaid.
How?
He comes here.
You mean he's privileged enough to see the great Bill Mottram, master craftsman at work?
The last time Ambrose came here, he spent the entire time watching me make a copy of a Hepplewhite bow front chest. He made notes, took photographs. It all appeared in some glossy American art magazine 6 months later.
Which added to your reputation.
And to Ambrose's bank balance. In dollars. Look, Ambrose is a great bloke in small doses. We owe him nothing, and he knows it. You're the one who used to call him an effete Oxbridge show-off.
Well, we were all show-offs then. Coffee or tea?
No, I'll leave it, thanks. I better get moving.
Moving? Where?
I've promised to look at a table. At a farm near Ledbury. Ambrose won't mind.
I've asked people round for drinks to meet him.
Oh, what time?
About 8.
Well, if I get a move on now, I'll be back by 8:30. Ambrose will keep them amused. As long as he doesn't start telling them how he discovered me.
Would you like a drink?
No, thanks. I don't have a lot of time.
I didn't hear your car.
Well, I parked in the lane and came across the paddock.
Are you sure you won't have one?
What is it, Suzanne?
When I said it wouldn't take long, I didn't mean 2 minutes flat.
No, I wouldn't say discovered. Although I suppose I was instrumental in persuading Bill to change careers.
He was teaching, wasn't he?
Woodwork in a comprehensive school.
And hating it. Bill and I went to hear Ambrose give a talk. A WEA course, I think it was.
And not a worker in sight.
The art of the cabinet maker.
With slides.
With slides. We introduced ourselves afterwards. Ambrose came back to look at a bureau that Bill had restored.
And the rest is history. Ah,
good to see you, Ambrose. Sorry I'm late.
How was the table?
Oh, complete waste of time. Victorian copy, poor one at that.
Well, Ambrose, what do you think of the flat?
Oh, very impressive. You did it all yourself, of course.
Mm-hmm, too busy. I did the drawings.
Back to leaning her over the shop.
A shade more luxurious than Banbury Street.
But with the same inbuilt disadvantages. He tends to disappear downstairs to the workshop at all hours.
Oh, what it is to love one's work.
Work? What's work?
Work is what I shall be doing tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you were staying.
I am, but I have to spend tomorrow in Cheltenham. I'm involved in a conference.
Oh.
Or to use the more fashionable term, a workshop.
What on?
The arts and crafts movement. In other words, my William Morris bit. I understand it's a gathering of vegetarians or something similar. I fear I should eat wisely, but not too well.
Mrs. North. Mrs. North, it's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, Mrs. North. Hairdressers this morning. Come on. Time to get up. Mrs. North? Mrs. North?
Mr. Mottram?
Yes.
Could I have a word, sir?
Sir?
Ah.
Ah, look, if it's about the van unloading in Sheep Street...
It isn't that, sir. We're anxious to contact Mr. North. Mr. Morris North.
Oh, he's up in Scotland doing the rounds. Probably around Perth or Inverness by now. Why, what is it?
Mrs. North was found dead this morning, sir.
Christ.
We want to contact Mr. North as soon as possible.
What was it?
I don't think that's altogether clear yet. She was only found a short while ago. Do you know where Mr. North is, sir?
I imagine the office will probably know which hotels Morris is using and the calls he's making. This way.
How did you hear?
Valerie rang. It's all over town.
Well, does she know any details?
Only that the cleaning lady found her in bed. Did the police tell you anything?
No. They may be more forthcoming this afternoon.
They're coming back?
No, I'm going over to the police station.
Why?
Well, they rang and asked me to. Look, I could hardly say no, could I?
Thank you for coming so promptly, Mr. Mottram. Do sit down. Detective Sergeant Cook.
Yes, sir.
My name is Herrick. Now... Mr. North has been located and is on his way back, but it's unlikely he'll be here before midnight, so you seem the obvious person to fill us in on background information. Now, you and Mr. North are co-directors?
Yes.
And Mrs. North?
She was also a director, but she's never taken a very active part.
Are you close to the North socially as well as professionally?
Fairly close, though we don't see a great deal of each other outside work.
Was it usual for Suzanne North to ring you at your workshop, Mr. Mottram?
She may have done occasionally.
I understand she telephoned you at work on Monday afternoon, Mr. Mottram.
Yes, I believe she did.
What was your relationship with Mrs. North, Mr. Mottram? It will save everybody, including yourself, a lot of time and trouble if you tell us now. We've already had several indications of the way things were.
Suzanne and I had an affair. It ended a couple of months ago.
How long had it lasted?
About a year.
Why did Mrs. North ring you?
She asked me to go and see her that afternoon.
Why?
She said she had something important to tell me. I didn't want to prolong the conversation, so I said I'd see her.
Did you go?
Yes.
You should have told us this sooner, Mr. Mottram.
Yes, well, I thought it might not be necessary.
Not necessary?
Well, I assumed it was natural causes.
Suzanne North was murdered, Mr. Mottram. This is a murder inquiry. Now, can we talk about times?
Eventually, I phoned them to ask if he was still there. Yes, they said. Routine inquiries. These things take time. No cause for concern, etc., etc.
They're terrible plodders, you know.
And that isn't all. Half an hour ago, a detective sergeant turned up, asking questions.
Mm-hmm. What about?
bill? What time he went out, what time he got back.
Was he out that evening?
Yes. You were here when he got back. He'd been to Ledbury to look at some furniture. Well, that's what he said.
But Jenny, they're probably questioning every man in the town who knew Suzanne.
For 3.5 hours? Mm. The evening papers say the police have opened an inquiry. They wouldn't do that if Suzanne had died from natural causes, would they?
I don't know. Do you have a lawyer?
We know one. Bill plays squash with him. John Davis.
I should give him a ring. A friend of mine always says he wouldn't ask the police the time without his lawyer present. Although in his case, I can see why.
No, I cannot remember her exact words.
Even though it was something important?
Suzanne said it was something important. Oh, she tended to get dramatic about things. At that moment, resuming the affair was important. To her, that is.
But not to you?
No, not to me.
You turned her down?
Well, not in so many words, but I made it clear there'd be no point in starting again. She seemed to accept that. By the time I left, she'd calmed down considerably.
Did you make love to her, Mr. Mottram?
No.
Did you go into the bedroom?
No.
Was she drinking?
Yes.
Heavily?
She only had a couple while I was there. Vodka, I think it was.
Mrs. North had drunk something like half a bottle of vodka, Mr. Mottram. She was probably in a drunken stupor when she was smothered.
You're quite sure about the time you left?
Yes. I was back home by 8:40. It's about 15 minutes' drive, so I must have left about 8:30.
And she was calm and reasonably sober?
Yes. How many more times are we going to go over this?
Well, look at it from our point of view, Mr. Mottram. You were at the house. You told us Mrs. North was in rather a neurotic state when you arrived. But suppose she threatened to tell her husband about the affair. Well, if she'd done that, it would have proved very damaging to you, socially and professionally.
Morris knew.
He knew about the affair?
Mm-hmm. He knew from the beginning. He accepted it.
Oh, come on! You're telling us you were
I said no calls. Who? I see, yeah. Can I ask him to wait? Mr. John Davis is here, Mr. Mottram.
Oh.
Claims to be acting for you.
That's right, he is.
Fetch him in, Sergeant.
Right.
Can I offer you a lift, Bill?
No, thanks. I'll walk. Well, what happens now?
Well, the ball's in their court. I don't suppose you need telling you've been a bloody fool.
No, I don't need telling. So, what now?
Depends on what they come up with. Forensic and so on. Whether Suzanne had any more little playmates. It'll help considerably if Morris tells them he knew about you and Suzanne. Cuts down on motive.
If he did know.
Let's hope he says so. Some men wouldn't find it an easy thing to admit.
What if they ask me in again for questioning?
Contact me immediately. I think perhaps we'd better have a chat first thing tomorrow anyway.
Well, you think it looks as bad as that?
I think we should allow for contingencies. 10:00.
Something with your coffee, Ambrose?
No, thank you.
No.
Oh, I've forgotten the cheese and biscuits.
No, none for me, thanks.
Oh, I wouldn't mind some.
Look, Bill. Bill, I don't think I should stay.
Look, I'm relying on you to stay. God knows I need support. You will have detected an atmosphere.
Are you surprised?
Ah, no Bree.
No.
Ambrose thinks he should leave us.
I'm in the way, Jenny.
No, you're not. You'd be silly.
Jenny, my automatic reaction to any unpleasant situation, and I think this would qualify, is to become more facetious than usual, and I don't think that would help.
Stay, please.
Yeah, there's a party of Americans coming to look round tomorrow. You could help out, Ambrose. You know, PR job. Turn on the charm. Morris isn't likely to be around.
You may not be.
Right. So, your presence is essential, Ambrose.
If you insist.
Good.
If you'll excuse me, I'll go and unpack.
Where did you get that?
Jimmy Brennan brought it in last month. Yeah, I reckon it's good enough to be Gillow's.
Quite possibly. Jimmy's still around then, is he?
Oh, yes. He's still the best knocker in the business. He picked it up from some old farmer near Brecon. Shocking state when he brought it in. None of the drawers would open. Look, new inlay here.
Oh, yes.
Been standing at the back of a barn for 20 years.
How long have you been working on it?
Oh, no idea.
Mm-hmm. Where will it go?
The States. All the good pieces go to the States.
I see you're making a copy.
Yeah, Michael's done most of it. I shall finish it off.
You always make a copy.
Oh, when I think it's worth it. It's a very good market. Ah, here's the Gibbons carving. What do you think?
Oh, marvellous.
Yeah, it's almost finished. See? Yeah, I think I'll get on with it now.
Oh, it's almost 10 o'clock. Haven't you enough on your mind?
This is on my mind. This is what matters, Ambrose. The rest is bullshit.
A carriage clock is missing from the side table. A silver coffee set from the cabinet there. I suppose there could be more. Was there a break-in, Inspector?
No signs of one, but the kitchen door was unlocked.
Suzanne was very careless about locking up. I usually did it. Would you like a drink?
No, thank you, sir. I'll send someone round in the morning to make an inventory of what's missing. There are just one or two other points I'd like to clarify, Mr. North, but if you've had enough, I can leave it until tomorrow.
You may as well stay. I shan't sleep.
When we spoke on the telephone, I believe you said something about speaking to your wife on the phone last night.
Yes.
Can you remember what time?
I don't know. I suppose it must have been around 9 o'clock.
You're certain about that, sir?
It could have been a few minutes either way. I rang from a call box in a restaurant in Dundee. I always rang her in the evening when I was away.
Could the call have been before 8:30, Mr. North?
No. We were still eating then.
How did your wife seem?
Much the same as usual. We didn't talk long. I had much change. We chatted about the weather, when I'd get back, how it was going.
Did she say anything about having visitors? Or expecting visitors?
No, I think she said something about watching a film on TV.
Did she make any reference to Mr. Mottram?
No.
Are you aware of your wife's relationship with Mr. Mottram, Mr. North?
Yes, I knew about that.
Did you get to know at the time of the affair or later?
I knew soon after it started.
How?
Suzanne told me. There was a very big difference in our ages, Inspector. Suzanne led her own life. We married on that understanding. I expected her to be sensible and discreet, that's all.
Surely the situation created difficulties, Mr. North?
No. I'm a realist, Inspector.
Did your wife ever threaten to leave you because of Mr. Mottram?
No. I think the affair had run its course.
Were there any others?
No.
How do you know, Mr. North?
She would have told me. Suzanne told me everything.
There. I bought you a double, Mr. Gray. It saves the journey.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, the talk of the bar is of nothing else. Yeah. Rumours flying thick and fast. Suicide. Murder, even. Mr. North would be hard hit. I dare say that's where Mr. Mottram is, giving help and support.
Yes, he probably is.
It takes something very serious to keep Mr. Mottram from his bent. Did you see the little table I found for him?
I saw it last night.
Oh, I swear, it could not have looked any better when it left Gillow's workshop. I truly think the man's a genius.
Gillow?
No, Mr. Mottram.
Oh,
an artist. It's a fine thing he's doing there. This place will become a mecca for craftsmen, if it isn't already. And he's training the future generations. Oh, I'm proud to play my part. You will remember to tell him about the desk.
600, yes.
We'll be talking around that figure. After tomorrow, I shall be at home all week. He has my number. Oh, and there's another little bit of information you might pass on.
Yes.
Last September, I bought Mr. Mottram a George II bureau. mahogany. Mm. Oh, a cracking lot. I got it from a retired naval man living in Radnor. It even had a what do you call it, a proof?
A provenance.
A provenance. Yeah. Now, last week I was in Bath. There's a very fine dealer just off Pitt Street. I forget the name.
Yes, I know who you mean. He's an old friend.
Is he? Mm. Well, it's a small world. Well, I called in to have a look around, and there it was. The very same bureau.
This is the vital information I have to pass on to Bill, is
it? Oh, intriguing information, Mr. Gray. All Mr. Mottram's restored pieces go to the United States. I recall him saying that the bureau already had a buyer waiting in Boston. So there it was, in Bath, when I thought it had crossed the water.
Yeah?
Oh, and another thing, there was no provenance with it. Mm-hmm. The man said that there wasn't one. And anyway, a piece like that didn't require one. It spoke for itself, which is true, but oh, there was a provenance.
it wasn't the same bureau.
Oh, I swear it was. So there you are, Mr. Gray. A little puzzle. A little mystery.
They asked the same questions. I gave the same answers. And that was it.
What does John Davis think?
Well, he was as relieved as I was. He warned me to expect a rough passage. I think he expected them to charge me.
Not an encouraging reaction from one's lawyer.
He was facing facts, I suppose.
When did Morris get back?
About one this morning, the police said.
Margaret rang while you were out. The police have been to see them. She had to make a statement about coming here on Monday evening, the time you joined the party.
That will have made her day.
You should be thankful there was somebody here. Have you been in touch with Morris?
No, not yet.
Will the police have told him what was in your statement?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I can understand your reluctance to speak to him.
I haven't had time. He's probably sleeping now.
We can hardly ignore him, can we? I'll try ringing.
Bill, I can't stay.
No, you've got to stay.
In what capacity? Referee?
No, just a couple of days.
You told Jenny about Suzanne.
Well, I hadn't much option. Look, Ambrose, just hang on a bit longer. Yeah, I still don't know what the hell's going to happen. Jenny could be by herself. Did you go down to the workshops this morning?
Yes, I spent all morning there.
Did the Americans turn up?
Yes, I showed them round. They were very impressed. They spent quite a bit.
Oh, good.
You must have been terribly busy.
Your storeroom's always full this time of year. We're due for a shipment to the States.
Ah, which reminds me. I saw Jimmy Brennan in the Plough at lunchtime.
Hard luck.
He said he'd got a partner's desk you might be interested in. 600. Oh, and he asked me to pass on some terribly involved story about a George II bureau which he brought to you last year.
What about it?
Now, he saw it in a showroom in Bath last week. He thought it had gone to the States.
Yeah, it has. We can double our prices there.
Do you be certain the bureau is the same one? A little puzzle, Mr. Gray, a little mystery.
Oh, Jimmy's a devious old bastard. He's so pissed most of the time he doesn't know what day it is.
Well, he was most insistent that I tell you.
All right, I'll tell Morris when he gets back to work. It may make some sense to him. He looks after distribution. Oh, did you manage to speak to him?
Yes.
How is he?
He said he was all right. He sounded awful. He's going over to see Suzanne's father this afternoon. I asked him to call in on the way back. Where will it be, Morris?
St. Peter's. That's the village church near her father's. Suzanne was christened there.
Well, if there's anything at all we can do to help. Anything.
I think everything's in hand. Thanks all the same.
You're welcome to stay with us if you'd rather.
That's kind of you, Jenny. But I'd rather be at home. I've got to come to terms with it sooner or later.
Oh, if you feel the need of company, just ring.
Thanks. Is Bill around?
He's in the workshop. Shall I fetch him?
No, I'll go down. I dare say my desk is piled high with letters.
Oh, it can wait, Morris.
To be honest, I hope there is plenty to do. I think I'd prefer to get on with some work.
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry, Jenny, but it's impossible. I've got an appointment on Friday afternoon.
The funeral's in the morning.
Oh, I couldn't face it. Morris won't want me there anyway.
It hasn't been a very pleasant visit, Ambrose, to put it mildly. Thanks for staying.
I'll come again when things have settled down.
That may be a very long time, if ever.
I suppose so. I can't really see how Bill and Morris can continue working together.
Oh, I think they will. I didn't mean Mottram and North. I meant Mottram and me.
Whatever there was between Bill and Suzanne didn't amount to much, you know.
Yes, I know. Just one of those things. There have been too many of those things, Ambrose. I used not to mind. Allowances must be made for the artistic nature. It goes with the talent, etc.
He may have learnt his lesson.
Bill doesn't learn lessons. He gives them.
Well, you found me all right then, Mr. Gray.
Well, not really. I kept finding myself the wrong side of the canal.
Still, you're here. I often think I'm too isolated. But on the other hand, I have the storage space.
What was it? A lockkeeper's cottage?
No, a pub. Oh, the Bridge Inn. I can remember it packed out to the doors. Then the canal went out of use and the custom disappeared. Very appropriate, some people say, me living in a former public house. Anyway, let's get inside and have a drop of something warm.
A washstand?
Yes.
I thought that's what you said over the telephone, but I thought it misheard.
No.
It'll seem your kind of a thing, Mr. Gray.
It isn't. My niece fancies one as a wedding present. Victorian, marble top, mahogany. The uglier the better.
Well, I believe I've got two, if not three. Let's have another before we go and look, shall we?
Yes.
That outhouse will be freezing.
Did you see what the coroner said? Oh, there was nothing in my paper.
Murder by personal persons unknown. Oh, they'll never get him. Did you stay for the funeral?
No. I passed on your message about the desk.
Ah, thanks. Mr. Mottram telephoned me. I took it over a couple of days ago. Very pleased with it, he was.
So what about the bureau?
The bureau?
You said something about seeing a George II bureau in Bath. One of your discoveries.
Oh, that! I sorted it all out with Mr. North. I was in error. Not for the first time in my life. Right.
Cheers.
Well, shall we see if we can find your niece a washstand?
What was it, Ambrose? Is it gin and something?
Oh, not for me, thank you. Stephen, I'm off.
Well, before chucking out time?
Closing time is an hour ago.
I thought that's why you drank here, Ambrose. Liberal interpretation of licensing laws.
I drink here because it's within walking distance of my simple abode.
Oh.
And if I don't go now, it's going to seem a very long walk home.
Well, we're going after this round. We'll give you a lift.
Thank you, but no thank you. I need the exercise.
Nearly forced me into the ditch. Are you sure you're all right?
Oh, a few scratches when I went into the hedge, that's all. Palpitations.
Kind of seen you until the last second. God, he must have been smashed out of his mind. All over the road. Bloody lucky he didn't finish in the ditch. Wish I'd got his number. If there'd been room to turn, I'd have gone after him.
Yes. What was it? A van?
No, something like a Range Rover. Light top, I think. Probably a local farmer. Don't look all right, you know.
Well, I think his coat is the right off, but otherwise, all right.
Nasty shock. Still, could have been worse, eh?
Yeah.
Look, can I drop you off?
No, thank you. I only live round the corner. It was nearly home.
What happened, Ambrose? The lady get carried away?
Oh, hello, Ross.
The scratches. Things get out of hand.
I fell into a hawthorn hedge.
Oh, yes. Say no more. Now, what about number 43?
But the commode. It won't reach the reserve.
I'm sure it's the one. That Irish fella, the knocker, offered me years ago. What's his name?
Jimmy Brennan.
A villain. But he comes by some decent stuff.
Not anymore.
Christ, walls have ears. Our friend Brennan inside, is he?
Dead?
Oh, cirrhosis of the liver, right?
Wrong. He got pissed and fell into the canal.
Where did you hear this?
Oh, somebody in the pub at lunchtime. He was a bit miffed because Brennan had promised him a set of chairs.
You're right, Ambrose.
I was chatting to him only a few days ago.
Oh, well, that's life.
You did remember to ask, Morris?
Yes, I asked him. He obviously didn't want to come, so I left it at that.
He spends far too much time alone.
If that's what he wants.
Has he been coming into the office?
No, not recently. He has been talking about packing it in.
Retiring?
Yeah, he's putting the house up for sale, and the cottage in Wales. He's going there next week to tidy things up before he goes on the market. Now, I don't think he'll stop working, though. His brother's in business in South Africa. He'll probably go in with him.
What'll happen here?
I think he'll leave his money in.
I don't mean that. What about sales and distribution?
Well, we'll have to find somebody.
Ambrose might be interested.
Ambrose?
Why not? He knows antiques, he knows the market.
Not on the scale we work on. Yeah, even if he did, he hasn't got the push or the sticking power. Too much responsibility, too many decisions for Ambrose.
Don't be so damn condescending.
He'd run a mile if I even suggested it.
I must say, it's an unexpected delight to see you again, Ambrose. It must be years.
No, no, not years, surely. We had a chat at Burlington House.
Well, I haven't been there since 81. And you promised faithfully to look in.
Well, here I am.
What are you up to these days? Well, here's your name bruited, but no one seems to know what you're doing.
You may well ask, St. John, you may well ask.
Still flitting?
Oh, yes, rather less informally. I do quite a bit of writing these days.
A book?
Oh, I haven't the stamina for a book. No, learned articles, almost solely for the American market.
Oh, the place of the candle snuffer in Georgian society, that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. That's why I'm in Bath, you see. Research.
On candle snuffers?
Bureau. And I have a whisper that you have a very nice George II bureau.
A highly informed whisper. Voila!
Ah. Oh, yes, superb.
Isn't it? So, what are you going to say about bureau?
Oh, I don't know, really. I'm toying with the idea of finding a very good one, like this, and tracing its history, the hands it's passed through, and so on.
Sounds like hard work.
Oh, just a notion. Where did you get that? If I use it, I shall not reveal sources or name names.
No, no. Forgive my tardiness, Ambrose. One gets a little wary.
Of course.
And I want this particular chap to myself. He's proved a gold mine.
Do I know him?
Oh, I doubt it. A chap called Calverton. Operates from an old rectory near Dorchester. Coombe Regis, I think it is.
Yes. Does he always bring pieces of this quality?
Oh, yes.
Name doesn't ring a bell.
Well, I've never come across him before. Mid, late 30s, bit of a spirit, actually.
Pricey?
No, very reasonable. For cash.
Ah.
Exactly my reaction. Too good to be true.
Yes. But you didn't ask questions.
Oh, one doesn't ask too many questions in this business. But I didn't take him altogether on face value. The first thing he brought me, Carden House table, I think it was. I had a policeman friend of mine, quite senior, actually.
Yes.
Check it out on the computer. They've all stolen antiques of that class on a computer these days. The hell of a lot gets pinched, you know.
Yes, I know. And?
Well, perfectly clean. I took the same precaution on the next two or three pieces he brought me. All clear. After that, I didn't bother.
Have you ever asked about his source of supply?
Oh, come on. They weren't stolen. Well, that satisfied me.
Do you have his address?
His card's in the office, I think. But before we go and look...
Yes?
I have a city that I think could well be William Kent. I'd like your opinion.
Bill Mottram?
It's Ambrose. May I come and see you, Bill? Tonight, if that's possible.
What's it about?
Morris.
You've heard.
Heard what?
Oh, no, I don't suppose you could have. Morris is dead.
What?
Yes, the police rang me an hour or so ago. His body was found this afternoon at the weekend cottage he had near Brecon. They think it's suicide. You said something about wanting to see me?
Yeah, yes.
Concerning Morris?
Yes, it is. I think I should come and see you, Bill, as soon as possible.
The cottage is on Forestry Commission land. One of their men saw smoke coming from beneath the barn door. He had a closer look and found Morris inside. He was sitting in the Range Rover with the engine running. Police said he'd probably been there since mid-morning. I couldn't believe it.
How had he been recently?
Oh, well, I've seen very little of him. Just after Suzanne's death and the funeral and the rest of it, he seemed to be coping pretty well. Said he was going to the cottage to tidy things up before selling it. The police seemed to think that means he didn't go up there with the intention of killing himself. But once he was there, you know, alone, he drank too much, thought too much, then decided he'd had enough. He and Suzanne spent a lot of time at the cottage when they were first married.
You think Morris killed himself because of Suzanne's death?
Yes. Don't you?
I think there's more to it than that. Considerably more. That's why I wanted to see you. I suppose Morris's death changes things, but we still need to talk.
What is it, Ambrose?
Just over a week ago, Saturday night, I was nearly run down by a car as I was walking home from the pub. I assumed it was an accident. Then, a few days later, I heard Jimmy Brennan was dead.
I heard a rumour. It's true, is it?
He was drowned in the canal near his house. It seems he'd had too much to drink and stumbled in on his way back from the pub. The inquest was this afternoon. Death by a misadventure. Hearing about Jimmy made me think again about what had happened, or nearly happened, to me. He was dead. Apparently an accident. If I'd been killed, and I realized afterwards just how close I'd been, that would have seemed like an accident too.
Seemed?
I think someone tried to kill me. They waited for me coming out of the pub. They knew I'd walk home. And they knew the lane was an ideal spot. No pavement, not even a grass verge, steep hedges either side. It would have looked exactly like a hit and run. Jimmy was less lucky.
Yes, but why, Ambrose? What's the connection?
You remember my passing on Jimmy's story about a George II bureau?
Oh, yes, I remember. What, he thought he'd seen it in a showroom somewhere.
I saw Jimmy a few days before he died. I asked about the bureau. He said he'd seen Morris, and they'd sorted it out. He was rather evasive. Dramatic change of mood. Jimmy had been absolutely certain he recognized the bureau.
No, it couldn't have been the same one. It's in the States.
Is it? Yesterday I visited the antique shop where Jimmy saw the bureau. It was still there. Under pretense of writing an article, I took a photograph. George II, original bracket feet, mahogany. Very distinctive piece. Indications of very discreet restoration. How many of those are there about?
Yeah, well, very few. Well, okay, for the sake of argument, let's accept it's the same one. So?
The bureau should be in the States. It isn't. It's been sold for cash. 2 to 2,500. It'll go for 4. If it's happened once, it may have happened before.
Well, some sort of fiddle, you mean?
Yes.
By whom?
Morris looked after distribution, didn't he?
Yes, he handled everything on the sales side. Did you find out where the dealer got the bureau from?
A man called Calverton, Richard Calverton. Over the past 5 years, he's brought a steady stream of high-quality pieces.
Calverton? No, no, I can't place him.
He lives in Dorset. Coombe Regis. Didn't Morris have a business in Dorset before he joined you?
Yes, Dorchester.
Suppose Morris was milking the United States shipments, fiddling the invoices, something like that, with Calverton acting as middleman. Then he hears that Jimmy has spotted the bureau and is asking questions. He hears, I know too. He's certain you'll disregard it, but he's worried that Jimmy and I might guess what was happening.
Why would Morris defraud his own business? What'd be the point?
I don't know.
No, you're piling supposition on supposition, Ambrose.
Now, look, suppose it is the same bureau. Suppose somebody did try to run you down. Suppose Jimmy was murdered. Suppose Morris did know this Calverton character. Suppose they were on the same fiddle. How has it worked?
I don't know, but three people are dead. Fact, not supposition. I don't believe Morris killed himself because he couldn't face life without Suzanne. He did it because he thought he was going to be found out.
If Morris was defrauding the firm, he's had plenty of time to cover his tracks.
I don't mean fraud. I think he was involved in Suzanne's murder.
Ambrose, Morris was 400 miles away.
Calverton wasn't. You went to see Suzanne that night because you said she had something important to tell you.
Yes.
Perhaps she'd found out about Morris defrauding the business. She was a partner.
Well, Suzanne said nothing about Morris or the firm. All she wanted was bed.
Well, she may have intended to tell you and then changed her mind.
All right. Let's say she'd found out Morris was on the fiddle and was going to tell me. Now, how did Morris find out she knew? How did he know she meant to tell me? And how did he kill her?
Calverton, I suppose. Mm. I don't know.
No, I'm not saying there wasn't something odd going on, Ambrose, but the fraud, if there was one, may have nothing to do with Suzanne's death.
The police would soon find out.
You think we should go to the police?
Well, that's why I came. I thought you should know first. I hate to admit to a primitive response like revenge, but I resent somebody trying to kill me.
Morris is dead, Ambrose.
Calverton isn't. Either or both of them could have been involved. A great deal of what I've said is speculation, but the police would have two solid pieces of evidence, the Bureau and the Range Rover.
You think Morris used the firm's Range Rover?
Well, it's likely, don't you think? And if he did, there may have been damage, scratches, something like that.
Yes, I suppose you're right. Mm. We should go to the police. Calverton's still free. Of course, he may have cleared off by now.
I think it's more than likely.
Why do you say that?
I tried ringing him, couldn't get through. Directory inquiries said the phone had been disconnected and the number was no longer in use.
So, what do we do? Though it isn't we, is it? The decision's yours.
Mine?
Well, you bear the brunt of it. The police will be more than interested, but it will mean, endless questions, interviews and publicity and appearance in court.
It was perfectly straightforward when Morris was alive. I had to tell the police. I didn't relish the prospect. I relish it even less now. I also have the uncomfortable feeling they may never find Calverton.
Yes, and if they do, they may not be able to prove anything. All it will establish is that my firm has been cheating its customers somewhere along the line. I don't have to tell you the repercussions from that.
No.
I shall be back to a four-man business if I'm lucky. I'm sorry, Ambrose. I've put you in an impossible position. If you want to go to the police, that's what we'll do. In fact, they said they'd be sending someone round later tonight. They want a statement on how Morris has been since Suzanne's death, state of mind and so on. They'll be here soon.
Why, I don't think I'll wait.
It's up to you.
No, I don't think so.
Have you discussed it with anyone else?
No. Will you tell Jenny?
No. No, we're bound to be committing some sort of offence, withholding evidence, is it, accessory, something like that. If she doesn't know, she can't be involved.
You wouldn't be involved if I'd followed my usual maxim, when in doubt, do nothing.
Were you called?
Yes. Briefly.
Had Morris planned it?
The coroner seemed to think so. Morris had taken a length of hose with him, even tape to fasten it to the exhaust. Doctor said the whiskey and the sleeping pills would have knocked him out before the fumes took effect.
Did the police find a note?
No. They came to the conclusion that he'd no one close enough to write to. They said he had no strong emotional ties with anyone, which was the reason he cracked up. He'd no one to talk to.
There was us.
Oh, we didn't know Morris at all.
What was the date again?
The 20th. Chedbury House, 7:30. And don't pretend to consult your diary and then say you can't come.
I wouldn't dream of it, although my taste in music is much nearer the Beatles than Bach.
It isn't Bach, it's Chopin. I have the distinct impression you've been avoiding us, Ambrose.
Nonsense.
It's months since we heard from you.
Well, I have been terribly busy. How are things at your end?
Oh, hectic. I've been helping out in the office full time. Things were in an awful mess. We seem to have lost half the files. Anyway, Bill and I haven't been out for ages.
Yeah.
So shall we meet you there, or will you call here first?
Why, I am at this moment consulting my diary. Oh.
No excuses.
In that case, the Queen Mother will have to wait.
Good. Come here first. It's almost on your way. Oh, by the way, it will cost you £10.
Ah, it's not me you want at all. It's my money.
The Guild wants your money. We want you. What time will you be here?
What is it, Oak?
Yes. I've been saving it for something special. What do you think?
Superb. Might be worth an article. The Church's patron, then and now. That sort of thing.
Why not?
Where's it going?
Community church, whatever that is, in Brum. Newly built. Trouble is, the bloody thing has to be ready for Thursday week. Bishop's coming to do the official opening. Or whatever they do to churches.
I think they consecrate them.
Hmm.
It looks finished.
Well, nowhere near. Look at the drawing.
Oh. Oh, yes, I see. Jenny said to tell you, you should be getting ready.
Oh, what?
A Chopin recital at Chedbury House.
Oh, Christ, I'd forgotten. No chance.
I trust you'll tell her that yourself.
Well, I did warn her. Ambrose, pass me a chisel, will you? No, that one.
Ah. Don't you ever get tired?
Not when I'm doing something like this. Have you heard about the inquest?
Yes. Did the police look any further than Suzanne's death?
Any further?
Didn't they consider Morris might have had other reasons for killing himself?
Well, I don't think so. They never looked at the business side of things at all. Suppose they checked on his bank account. We did the right thing, keeping quiet.
Yes, I'm sure we did. Well, I'd better go and inform Jenny you won't be joining us.
Ask her to do me some sandwiches and a flask of coffee before she goes, will you?
I brought some rather nice-looking volleyball.
Lovely. She's excellent, don't you think?
Very accomplished. Seems to me that lady musicians are more decorative than they used to be.
Or is it that you're getting older and less fussy?
Thank you. Does Bill still play?
Very occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Pretty. Used to play all the time when I first knew him.
Well, that was when he was out to win friends and influence people.
He was very good.
His mother wanted him to make music his career.
Really?
Yes, she was a music teacher. She was appalled when he took up woodwork. She thought he'd ruin his hands. Didn't you know?
No.
Bill keeps quiet about his mum. He prefers people to assume he taught himself to play the piano one wet Sunday afternoon when he'd nothing better to do.
Strains of Debussy drifting across the pit yard.
They've had to drift a long way. Bill was brought up in a very nice Edwardian semi in a solid, respectable suburb, a long way from the pit. What's he told you?
Nothing, really. I just assumed it was, well, more humble. A bit D.H. Lawrence-ish, I suppose.
Yeah. His father started as a miner. For most of Bill's life, he was a safety manager. Bill's very good at manipulating the truth. Not lying, exactly.
Just adding a bit here, subtracting a bit there.
You've noticed, have you?
Mm-hmm. It takes one to know one.
I wondered who'd appropriated all the vol-au-vent.
Hmm? Oh, hello, St. John.
Good evening, Ambrose.
Jenny, St. John.
Hello.
Delighted to meet you, Jenny. Say I'm weary, say I'm sad, say that health and wealth have missed me, say I'm growing old, but add, Jenny kissed me.
Not just a present, thank you. Oh, do sit down and help yourself.
Thank you. This is all rather splendid, don't you think?
Yes, excellent.
How did the article progress, Ambrose?
The article?
The one you were contemplating when we last met, tracing the history of the George II Bureau.
Oh, that. Oh, it came to nothing, I'm afraid.
Pity. It sounded interesting. Did you get as far as contacting Calverton?
No, I dropped the idea.
Richard Calverton?
Yes, do you know him?
The name rings a bell.
We ought to be getting back.
I haven't seen or heard from Calverton since your visit, Ambrose.
Yes.
I was beginning to wonder if you'd pointed him in someone else's direction.
Well, as I said, I haven't seen him. I did try ringing, but nobody was answering. I understand he's moved.
My apologies. Unworthy and uncharitable thoughts. The bureau in question is still with me.
Oh?
After your visit, I took a fancy to it myself. After turning down several very reasonable offers, I suddenly realised I didn't want to part with it. So it now adorns my sitting room.
Lucky man. We ought to be moving.
What are you doing afterwards?
Setting off back. It's a longish drive.
I'm informed this will be over by 9:30. Why not come back to my place for drink?
Well, it's very kind of you, St. John, but
it's literally 2 minutes down the road. Jenny?
Oh, why not? I'll drive if you like, Ambrose. There's nothing to rush back for.
Splendid.
Nice flat.
Yes, very nice.
I was pleased she decided to include some Ravel.
Yes.
Yes, I think a whole evening of Chopin would have been too much. For me, that is.
Ambrose.
Yes?
You've said all that once, if not twice.
Oh, have I? Sorry.
Do you mind if I pull in?
No, of course not. Would you like me to drive?
It isn't that.
Oh.
What's wrong, Ambrose?
Nothing.
No? Up to the interval, you were on top form, sparkling. Then your friend St. John appeared.
He has that effect on me.
I don't think it was him, was it? It was what he said. From the moment he mentioned Calverton, you became monosyllabic.
It wasn't that. I don't like being upstaged.
You didn't want me to go back to St. John's flat because you thought I might recognise the bureau.
Just leave it, Jenny, please.
And I did recognise it. Bill got me to look at it when he finished it. I tried to persuade him to keep it, but he said there was already a customer waiting for it in the States. So, what's it doing in St. John's sitting room?
I don't know.
I gather he got the bureau from Calverton.
I believe he did.
Now, Calverton, as far as I can remember, did quite a lot of business with Morris before Morris joined Bill. Bill always thought he was suspect. But the bureau came to Bill via Jimmy Brennan.
Yes.
Is it true that Brennan's dead?
Yes, it's true.
What else is true, Ambrose?
I think you should ask Bill.
I prefer to ask you. Which is another way of saying I prefer the truth.
Bill left it to me. I was terribly uneasy about the whole thing. But on balance, I think it was wise to keep the police out of it.
Calverton probably killed Suzanne. And Jimmy Brennan. He may have tried to kill you. He's still free. Doesn't that bother you?
Yes, it bothers me. But I don't think the police would have found him. I don't think they'll ever find him. You think it was Calverton, not Morris.
I can imagine Morris as a swindler. Not as a murderer. I don't think he had the nerve.
It was a question of options. I think Bill and I did the right thing.
You sound as if you're trying to convince yourself, Ambrose.
I suppose I am. I'd much prefer to forget the whole business.
Is that why you've avoided coming to see us?
Yes. I thought it'd be easier if I kept away.
And was it?
No. Will you tell Bill?
Oh, I don't know.
He didn't tell you because he didn't want you involved.
It was for my own good, yes, I know. And if I say anything now, he'll accuse me of browbeating the truth out of you. Which is true. Oh, we'd better get back.
When we do, I think I should go straight home.
Oh, don't be silly. You must stay. You can't drive back at this time.
Oh, I'd rather not, really.
But don't worry, I'm not going to make a scene. Bill will probably have gone to bed anyway. One egg or two, Ambrose?
Oh, just one, please.
Just come across a guy called Roberts, Ambrose. Mervyn Roberts.
Well, the name rings a bell.
Ah, TV producer, Bead Features.
Ah, yes. I met him at a party. At St. John's, I think it was. Ages ago.
Ah, St. John.
Yeah, is he any good?
St. John speaks highly of him. I barely know him. We only exchanged a few words.
What about him?
He called me last night. Wants to do a TV documentary.
Oh, about the workshop?
Yeah, partly. Well, me chiefly. A profile.
Now that would be interesting.
Sounds promising.
What did you say?
I was lukewarm.
Good publicity.
Oh, who needs it? What a hassle. TV people spend so much time fannying around, don't they?
Yes, well, I think we've had all the publicity we want or need recently. Wholemeal toast or white, Ambrose?
Wholemeal, please.
Yes? Do you know if anything's been done about this? What is it? Morris's credit card account for March.
March?
It was under a pile of papers in his drawer.
First I see of it. Should have gone to his executors ages ago.
See to it, will you? What's that entry there? Jersey.
Oh, yes. Mr. North went to Jersey. Now, that's for the plane ticket. That's the hotel.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten. Are the dates right? I thought it was later than that.
Oh, it'll be in the diary. I believe I made the bookings, sir. Yes. He went on the 16th of March and came back on the 22nd. Is there anything wrong?
No.
He was very fond of Jersey, Mr. North. I'll drop it in at the solicitor's at lunchtime. The credit card people have been charging interest all this time.
Yes.
Ambrose Gray.
It's Jenny. I've been trying to get you all day.
I've only just got back from Norwich. What is it?
When did Jimmy Brennan die?
Jimmy?
Do you know the date?
Oh, not offhand.
Think.
Hang on. A calendar somewhere. Hang on. Sorry. Yes, it would be the 18th of March, Sunday. Or early on the 19th.
And the night you were almost run down?
Well, that was the day before. What is it, Jenny? What's wrong?
Jenny?
Oh, I can't talk now. Can I come and see you tomorrow?
Oh, let me think. I should be out all morning. St. John's coming to see me at lunchtime.
Can't you put him off?
I've been doing that ever since Chedbury. We're eating at the pub in the village, then coming back here. I should be able to get rid of him by 3.
I'll come then.
Good morning.
Good morning. I wonder if you could help me.
If I can.
The landlord at the pub suggested I try here. I'm trying to trace a friend, Richard Calverton.
Oh.
I thought he lived at the old rectory, but I've been round there and it's empty.
Oh, it's been empty some time. Mr. Calverton left the village months ago.
I can't understand it. When I saw Richard in town, February I think it was, he asked me to drop in any time I was passing. Not a word about moving.
Oh, Mr. Calverton's been gone almost 3 months.
Has he? How very odd. Have you any idea where he's gone?
Oh, America. My son, my youngest, who works at the garage, drove him to Heathrow. I think he flew in Concorde.
3 months ago?
Oh, it must be that. Yeah, it'll be in the paper book. no papers after the 1st of March. Perhaps he'd be in touch.
Yes.
You know the sort of thing. Mottram working on a particularly delicate piece of carving. Cut to him dashing off a sonata. Cut back to workshop. Cut to, sport. What does he play?
Squash, golf, tennis.
Cut to him tearing about the squash court. Winning, of course. Back to his bench, then philosophising by the river. There is a river, isn't there?
Sort of.
The Last Renaissance Man. Good title, don't you think?
Overdoing it a bit, isn't it?
I've heard you refer to Mottram in similar terms.
That's a private joke.
I think it's particularly apt. Mervyn has virtually sold the idea on the title alone.
Where do you come in?
I don't follow.
What do you get out of it?
If Mervyn produces a winner about Mottram, then he's likely to get carte blanche on what he wants to do next. And that would be a nice little idea I put to him.
Yeah.
About the antique trade. I'd be involved in some capacity or other. It has great possibilities. But Mervyn has to get on with this Mottram thing first. An unexpected gap has suddenly appeared in the schedules, I gather.
Right, St. John. I shall do what I can.
Time is of the essence.
I'll have a word with Bill as soon as I can.
What a busy man you are.
I did say I was expecting somebody.
My apologies. That's Jenny's car, isn't it?
I'll be in touch.
Lovely. I'll slip out by the back door. No, I insist.
Would you like a coffee? I have this marvellous new machine.
No, thank you.
How's Bill progressing with the lectern?
It's just about finished.
Must be very near the deadline.
It's tomorrow, I think. Bill thinks I'm visiting a friend in Bristol.
I thought subterfuge was his department.
Not these days.
You sounded rather fraught on the phone.
I was.
What was all that about dates?
You're quite sure you were right?
Yes.
I need to be certain.
I've checked.
The 17th and 18th of March.
Yes. What is it, Jenny?
I said nothing to Bill about what you told me after the concert. All that business about the Bureau and Morris and Calvert and...
I think you were wise.
Well, I decided, on reflection, that you and Bill had done the sensible thing in keeping it from the police, so I'd forget it.
Mm.
Did I tell you I've been helping out in the office?
Yes, you mentioned it at the concert.
I've taken over Morris's paperwork. Well, yesterday, I came across his credit card account for March. It must have been overlooked when his personal papers were sorted out.
And?
The entries showed that Morris was in Jersey from the 16th of March to the 22nd. He paid his hotel bill by credit card. I know he went away after the funeral, but I never realised it was that weekend. The weekend Jimmy died, and somebody tried to run you down. It couldn't have been Morris.
No. It comes back to Calverton. We always knew that was a possibility.
I don't think so. I drove here straight from Coombe Regis, Ambrose.
We know Calverton isn't there now.
He's been gone for some time. He left on the 1st of March, quite openly, with every indication he was going for good.
Well, that doesn't rule him out. He may still have been around later.
He went to the States, and he talked as if he was going there for some time.
That may have been a cover. He could have returned.
I don't think Calverton was involved at all, Ambrose.
He and Morris must have been working some sort of fraud.
Fraud, yes, not murder. When Suzanne died, Morris was in Scotland, Calverton was in the States. Neither of them was in the country when Jimmy died. Or when somebody tried to kill you.
There must be others involved.
Like Bill.
Like Bill.
You knew?
No. I felt something was wrong from the beginning, but I knew nothing. And preferred not to find out. I have a well-developed facility for pushing aside uncomfortable thoughts. I managed very well until the concert last week.
Yes?
Calverton, you said you knew him. Bill had already told me he didn't.
You said nothing.
What could I say? One small lie. I told myself it didn't signify. Apparently it does.
Yes. Something I should have told you earlier, Ambrose.
Yes.
When I found out about Morris's trip to Jersey, I noticed another entry in the office diary. That same weekend, the Saturday, Bill gave a talk to some craft society in Oxford.
It was in the evening. Whenever he gives a lecture, he always takes some furniture with him, smaller pieces and different types of wood. So he must have taken the Range Rover.
I see. Can you remember whether he gave the talk?
I wasn't at home.
So he may not have gone.
He went.
How do you know?
We sent his fee a week later. The cheque was paid into our account. And there's something else.
Yes?
The Range Rover went in for its annual MOT a few days later. I found the bill in the files. It included some minor repairs to the near side wing, re-spraying. How far are you from Oxford?
14 miles.
20 minutes drive. He finished his lecture around 9, then drove here. He knew you'd walk home from the pub. He knew which way.
No.
And the following night he went to Jimmy's.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Look at the fact!
I'll accept that Bill is involved.
Involved?
We don't know to what extent.
He tried to kill you!
I can't believe that. I still think that there could be others involved. Calverton may have returned.
Oh, for God's sake, Ambrose!
What do you want to do?
Do we have a choice?
Once we go to the police, we shall start something we can't stop, Jenny.
I realise that.
Everything we know is circumstantial. Dates, times, places. Suppose we've got it wrong.
You think we should keep quiet?
No. I think we should see Bill.
I don't want to see him. Neither should you. All you'll get is a fresh pack of lies.
Not this time.
It looks finished.
Not quite. There's one or two final touches. I have to go to Brum tomorrow, ready for the bishop. Is Jenny back?
I didn't come through the flat.
Anything special?
Hmm?
The reason you've called.
I wanted to have a chat.
Ambrose, we're flat out. I've got a new commission to start on the moment I finish this. A boardroom table for a Jap firm in Wales. They want it yesterday. Is it important?
I've decided to go to the police.
Oh? When?
Tomorrow morning, I thought.
The arguments for keeping quiet still apply. Nothing's changed. There's no comebacks. It's all finished.
Oh, I don't think so.
Let's go up to the flat, shall we?
You were there in Oxford that weekend with the Range Rover. The following week it was repaired. The front near side wing was resprayed.
And that's it, is it?
Well, it's enough, I would have thought.
Bunch of unrelated facts, Ambrose. If they are facts, where did you get them?
Are they true?
I don't know. Let's assume they are. So what? You've dug up odd snippets from God knows where and pieced them together, but they don't fit. They've no relevance to each other.
The fact that you know Calverton is very relevant, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, I know him.
You told me you'd never met him.
Yes, if I told you, you would have jumped to the conclusions you're jumping to now.
Yes.
The wrong conclusions.
What about Oxford?
Well, I must have been there around about that time.
It was the same weekend.
Yeah, if you say so.
You didn't mention that either.
Well, why should I? I often lecture at weekends. You know that is hardly news. Neither is the fact that Oxfordshire is full of Range Rovers. It's all ifs, Ambrose. If the Bureau was a fake, if Morris was here, Calverton was there.
Neither of them could have killed Suzanne, or Jimmy, or driven that Range Rover.
Calverton could have come back. Morris could even have come back from Jersey.
The police will have no trouble checking on that.
As far as the police are concerned, it's finished. You go to them, they won't thank you. Forget it, Ambrose.
I don't think I can. I've no objection to your getting away with murder metaphorically, Bill, but not literally.
Go away, Ambrose. Go on, go and investigate Victorian fakes or Heffelwhite's early life, something important. Leave this alone.
If I leave now, I shall go straight to the police. I think you should go, Bill, while there's time. I'll keep quiet until tomorrow. That gives you 15 hours.
I'm not running away.
And I'm not staying to listen to a pack of lies. Or to be more exact, a mixture of half-truths, omissions and evasions.
You want the truth? The truth is down there, in the workshop. Skilled craftsmen, working flat out, practicing skills that have almost died. producing work no one else can touch. Men who care. When the apprentices come through, there'll be more. Commissions are beginning to pour in. There's furniture being packed for trade fairs in Milan and Washington. My own designs. You know what I set out to do years ago. I'm almost there.
And that justifies murder.
It was a straight choice. Go under or fight to survive. I had to decide there and then. There was barely time to think.
Barely time? Jimmy's death must have been carried out and planned in cold blood. You drove the Range Rover in cold blood.
No, Suzanne, I mean, there was no time then. I had to act and act quickly. The rest followed. There was no going back.
But how was Suzanne a threat? Jenny might have walked out for a time.
No, it wasn't that. I could have handled that. You remember telling me you thought Suzanne had found out about Morris defrauding the business.
Yes.
You were right. That was what Suzanne told me. What she didn't know was that I was in as deep as Morris.
How could you both defraud your own business?
We didn't. To understand it, Ambrose, you have to remember what things were like when we first opened the workshop.
It was a success from the start.
Oh, that's how it looked. Good publicity, bags of prestige, but financially we were struggling. It was like a show that gets good notices but nobody goes to see. We were going under. Suppose we might have lasted a year. Then Morris came across Calverton. They'd worked together some years previously. Calverton saw the sort of work we were doing and he came up with a scheme. Now, virtually all our work then was on restoration. It was a simple idea. When a good piece came in for restoration, I made an exact copy. And it was the copy that was shipped to the States as the original, with the provenance, if there was one.
What about the original?
Now, Calverton looked after that side of things. He got rid of them, always for cash, slightly below what they would fetch at auction.
And nobody had any suspicions in the States?
No. By the time the copies had been distressed, which I saw to myself, it would have taken a very good eye to have spotted anything. I had my two best men making copies while I restored the originals. They'd no idea what was happening, of course. So, we got top prices in the States and a fair amount here in tax-free cash. Calverton took his cut, but we made enough to keep the firm going. Then, Calverton, who had connections with the rough end of the trade, began to get his hands on a steady flow of stolen antiques. Just a question of switching pieces and fiddling the invoices. To the customs men, one 18th-century table is like another. Calverton knew a dealer in the States who wasn't fussy. So we started to make real money, enough to make us financially secure.
Then why didn't you stop?
We did. We wound it all up. Calverton went to the States to set up a legitimate business there with Morris as a sleeping partner. It was all over. We got away with it, we thought. Yeah, then Suzanne rang me when Morris was in Scotland. She had to see me. It was desperately urgent. Oh, I thought she just wanted a one-night stand while Morris was away. I couldn't risk not going. She's getting more and more unpredictable and drinking more.
She knew nothing about the fraud?
No, but she'd found out.
How?
But she was convinced that Morris was up to something. She thought he had a bit on the side somewhere, you know, all those phone calls. So, whenever she could, she listened in on the extension every time he took a call. Now, a few days before he went to Scotland, Morris had a call from Calverton in the States. Suzanne heard enough to realize some sort of fiddle had been going on. She said nothing, but when Morris went to Scotland, she went through his desk. She found a bank statement from a bank in Belgium and another from Switzerland. He got over 20,000 sorted away, money she knew nothing about. It must have been milked from the business, of which she was a partner, remember? So she rang me. When I got there, she told me the whole story.
But she had no real proof. Morris could have found some explanation for the money abroad.
She'd heard enough. Calverton had a record. A container of furniture was due to arrive in the States. There were five fakes in it. All the police had to do was check it out when it arrived, and that would have been that.
Had Suzanne no idea you were involved?
No. That's why she was so pleased with herself.
Pleased?
Oh, yes. When I ended the affair, I said it was because the situation was getting impossible. You know, Morris was a friend, the business would suffer, we were bound to get found out, and so on. Well, now she had a chance to get rid of him. She could tell the police, or take him for everything he'd got and tell him to clear off. She wanted my advice.
What did you say?
I tried to persuade her to drop the whole idea. To give him a chance to pay the money back. Nope, she wouldn't listen. Morris had to go. She decided against blackmail. She wanted to phone the police there and then. The only way I could stop her was by telling her I was involved. She was furious. Not because of the fraud. What really niggled her was that she got nothing out of it. I managed to calm her down, explained why we'd done it. I had a few drinks. She began to see new possibilities. Morris would give her a divorce, plus a handsome settlement. After a time, I would divorce Jenny. I said, let's talk about it in bed. And when we got there, I picked up a pillow and held it over her face until she stopped struggling. Then I made it look as if there'd been an intruder and left.
She wouldn't have gone to the police.
She was unstable, Ambrose. Unpredictable. Once she'd sobered up, there was no knowing what she'd do. And that's how it would have been every day.
You could have risked it.
No. Even if she kept quiet, it would have meant the firm was virtually hers. It would have meant my life was hers. Oh, do you think I was going to give up Jenny for a bitch like that?
You could have gone to the police yourself.
Oh, yes. 3 to 5 years inside and the firm ruined. A good many careers ruined. Like I said, I had to think on my feet. She looked so bloody pleased with herself lying there in bed, I thought, no.
What about Morris? Did he consider his wife expendable?
He had no choice. He had to go along with what had happened. I rang him from a phone box immediately afterwards. He broke down completely, called me every sort of bastard, then eventually realized that Suzanne had been only too eager to turn him in. That cooled him down considerably. He agreed to give me an alibi by saying he'd spoken to Suzanne on the phone at a time when I was at home with witnesses. He also agreed to tell the police he'd known all along about my affair with Suzanne, which he hadn't. So, I had an alibi and no motive.
When you killed Suzanne, you couldn't have known that Morris would cover for you.
No, I didn't. I had to take a chance.
What about Jimmy? Are you going to tell me he represented the same kind of threat as Suzanne? It was no more than a bit of trade gossip to him.
Oh, Ambrose, don't be so bloody naive. Why do you think he was so interested? He knew there was some sort of fiddle going on. He didn't know exactly what, but he wanted his share. What did he tell you? Something about sorting it out with Morris? He touched Morris for 200 quid. And that wouldn't have been the end of it. Sooner or later, he would have been back, or the drunken sod would have said too much to somebody.
Like me, presumably.
No, Jimmy was convinced you'd worked it out for yourself.
I never gave it a second thought.
Ah, he was certain you knew. Ah, I didn't know what the hell to do. I went to Oxford that weekend. When I'd finished lecturing, I decided to go and see you, tell you everything. You weren't in. I started to drive back down to the village and saw you walking up the lane. And I thought, whatever I say, he'll want to go to the police. And I panicked.
You've never panicked in your life.
Oh, I could have run you down before you knew what was happening, Ambrose. Easily. I swerved at the last second.
I find that touching. But no last-minute reprieve for Jimmy, or Morris, for that matter. I take it he did receive some assistance.
Morris killed himself.
It came at a very opportune time.
Ambrose, we need to talk about now.
We need to talk about 3 people dead. Useless people who led messy lives. Untalented, unaccomplished people. Like me. Like most of mankind, in fact. But mankind can go to hell, can't it, Bill?
Yes, it can. I was in a corner. I used my nerve and my will and my intellect to fight my way out. And I didn't do it to save my own skin.
No.
Oh, how would you know, Ambrose? You've never made anything in your life. Not even a decision that matters. Yeah, all right, make one now. There's the phone. If you want to ring the police, go ahead.
I think you should do that yourself.
I'm telling the police nothing. But your word against mine.
There's Calverton.
Calverton? If they find him, we'll keep his mouth shut. No. It's down to you, Ambrose.
Not entirely.
What do you mean?
There's Jenny.
Well, how does Jenny come into it?
She knows everything I know.
You told her?
Only after she worked most of it out for herself. She came to see me this afternoon. She's still at my place.
Why the hell didn't you say something sooner? Look, if Jenny agrees to keep quiet, will you?
I think you should go, Bill.
Well, I'd rather hear what Jenny says.
Are you sure she's there?
That's where I left her.
Well, why didn't she come with you? She's probably on her way. Does she know you're going to the police?
No.
Look, she should be consulted, don't you think?
I think you should go.
Ambrose, will you keep quiet if she does?
If Jenny agrees.
You should have told me. Ah, that'll be her now. Jenny! What do you want?
We'd like you to come with us, Mr. Mottram. There are men at the back door as well.
You've no right to enter like this.
Mrs. Mottram let us in, sir.
Jenny? Where is she?
You can see your wife later, Mr. Mottram.
Well, I don't believe she let you in.
Mrs. Mottram has been with us for the last half hour.
Where is she?
We'd like you to come with us to the station.
If you want to talk, we can talk here.
Come on. You're in no position to choose. I suggest you get a coat and anything else you need.
I'm not moving.
Would you rather be carried out? There are other men outside.
Yes, okay. Just remember, there's a witness here.
I have noted that, sir. Sergeant Cook will come with you. It's Mr. Gray, isn't it?
Yes. Where's Mrs. Mottram?
Outside in her car. I shall need to see you both later.
Yes.
You should have come to us sooner, Mr. Gray.
Should I?
Give John Davis a ring, will you, Ambrose?
Yes, of course.
And ask Michael to get the lectern to Brum tomorrow, if I'm not back. I said I'd have it there by lunchtime.
Yes, right.
Talk to Jenny.
Come on!
I didn't know, Bill.
No, I'm sure you didn't. Talk to her, Ambrose. Cheers!
Yes. I see. Both of us. Yes. Thank you for ringing. Bill will be charged tomorrow sometime. There's no question of bail.
Is his lawyer there?
Yes. Inspector Herrick wants to see us tomorrow morning at 10.
Shall we need lawyers, do you think?
Why should we?
I'm sure we've committed several offences.
The inspector said nothing.
Yes, well, we've done our duty, haven't we? If I have to be back in the morning, I ought to be on my way.
Well, you can't drive home tonight.
Stone cold sober, and likely to remain so. He was certain I'd keep quiet, you know. The more we talked, the more confident he became.
I suppose he was equally certain of me.
Yes, I tried to tell him. He thought once you were here, it would be all right. Loyal wife, loyal friend.
The loyalty was one way, Ambrose. His only loyalty was to Bill Mottram.
And to his work.
That doesn't excuse what he did.
It explains it.
You think we should have kept quiet?
No. I think you did the right thing. The only thing. What I feel is another story.
If I hadn't known, would you have gone to the police?
Good question.
Well?
No, I wouldn't. And, of course, I would have invented all sorts of fancy reasons for not doing so. In actual fact, I would have kept quiet for purely selfish reasons. I dreaded the inevitable unpleasantness. Pure moral cowardice.
He tried to kill you, Ambrose.
Oh, he intended to. I don't think he tried. If Bill had wanted to kill me, he would have done, either then or some other time. As we both know, he was a man who did things properly. Past tense already, you see.
Do you know why I went to the police, Ambrose?
Because you knew I wouldn't.
No, I mean, why I went when I did.
No.
I thought, Ambrose will have told Bill everything. And like a gentleman, he will have kept my name out of it. In an hour's time, the workshop will have closed, and they'll be alone together. You were a threat, Ambrose. Like Suzanne. Like Jimmy. I don't suppose that occurred to you.
No.
I didn't think it would. What are you going to do?
My immediate plans don't extend beyond finishing this bottle of gin. After we've talked to the police, I may well go and see John and Frederica in the Algarve. Here will be a good place not to be.
Bill thinks the workshop will close without him.
He has a point.
There's plenty of work. But it needs organisation, planning. I can't do it alone.
What use would I be?
Well, you know the business. You could look after the PR side of things. Please, Ambrose.
If you think I'll be of any help.
Of course you will. Oh, there's just one thing.
Yes?
It was something we should be prepared for. Bill's going to say anything if he thinks it'll help his case or clouds the issue. He'll say we're lovers.
People will see that's ridiculous.
Yes, of course. I thought you ought to know. Pour me a drink, would you, Ambrose? Now, we ought to decide what I'm going to say to everybody in the workshop tomorrow.
In The Last Renaissance Man by T.D. Webster, Michael Pennington played the part of Bill Mottram.